time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's Wednesday morning, July 10th, another glorious, glorious day. Oh, I am so excited about today's show. Oh, wow. And I loved doing my research about today's topic. You know, we all have gaps of knowledge and secret curiosities about sex. And step one on the journey to good sex is learning how your own body works. What does it want? What feels good? And what will give you pleasure? And what changes occur when you get turned on? These are some of the things we should all know if we want to have a healthy sex life. Besides, how can you tell your partner what to do if you don't know yourself? Well, if this piques your interest, you're in the right place this morning, as my guests include Dr. Shannon Chavitz. She's a clinical psychologist and sexologist, and she's going to discuss how self-esteem, confidence, and body awareness all influence our sexual response. She's fabulous, right? By the way, I'm so excited she's going to be here. And Claire Kavanaugh, who's the owner of Babeland Sex Shop here in New York City, also their products can be purchased online. She's going to educate us on the various toys, how fun, to help you get to know yourself and your partner better. So if you're looking for tips on how to discover your sexual needs and bring out your inner sex goddess, then stay tuned. Oh, so excited. So I was with my daughter last night, and she said, well, Mom, you know, how does your topic, sex, relate to clearing clutter and getting organized? And I said to her that in order for us to be happy in our lives, we need to be happy with ourselves and our bodies. So we all need to get to know our bodies and have a good relationship with, you know, with ourselves. It's also important to get rid of those negative thoughts, the clutter, and the ideas you have about yourself and your body. Once you do that, you could start enjoying. As far as getting organized, of course, the everyday stresses of life can definitely follow you into the bedroom, and that's what, something that we want to prevent and something that we could work on. Of course, I always relate every single topic to clutter and getting organized because that's what it is. There's clutter in every single aspect of our lives. So, you know, in personal organizing, which is available as a download on Amazon, one of the projects that I have in there is to reclaim your personal time. And by doing that, you will actually be giving yourself some new time, some time for the things that you enjoy or the things that you would like to enjoy but don't have the time for. So in that chapter, it really would just take a half an hour to do something like this, and you can gain hours and hours of time. So I ask you, do you need some personal time to recharge and reflect? Well, don't we all? You know, as any doctor will tell you, this is an important way to take care of yourself and to manage your stress. And it'll help you appreciate and care for others too. You know, the problem is, although many people crave time for themselves, few actually schedule it. Instead, we fill in every gap into our schedules. We run errands. We have social engagements. But with nothing more than a calendar, a pen, and a phone, we're about to break away from the daily grind and show the world how the fun gets done. So some of the things that you can do is look for the gaps in your calendar. Is there an hour next Saturday, maybe between your doctor's appointment and going to the the soccer game. Well, maybe you want to block that time off right now for personal time. You know, if why bother, you're saying to yourself, I hear. Well, if you don't, you might commit to another errand in that time period. We all not need to start thinking about where the gaps are in our day and in our week so we could fill that in with personal time and time for ourselves, which is so, so important. Another thing that we can do to reclaim some of our personal time is probably take some time off for work. You know, we can't just work and no play. So that's something for us all to consider. Maybe even take the day off and have somebody take care of the errands that you do so you don't have to do them. And then, you know, it's important to find time in your packed schedule. Even if you have to beg, borrow, or steal, like look over your schedule for tomorrow and try one of the following things here to find a moment's peace. You know, maybe if you have a commitment, maybe there's something that you can uncommit to. You know, maybe you're going to go somewhere, but you say, you know, I'd rather not do that today. I'm going to spend some time with myself and doing for myself. Borrowing time, you know, let's say you're waiting in a doctor's office or waiting for a bus or waiting at a restaurant. You know, that's also a good time to think about the things that you want to do. Think about the things that are important to you. Another way to gain some personal time is maybe just steal an hour from maybe your sleeping time. Maybe wake up an hour earlier and get some things done. If it's taking a class or even, you know, relaxing in a bath. So I always say that it's so important for us to take care of ourselves. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. You know, so many people say that they don't have time for sex. It's just, I'm just too busy. And that's why I think it's so important that we even schedule a date or schedule a sex night. That's really something that people might be laughing about. But you know what? It works. So it's also important to make time to sleep and take care of yourself in that way. And exercising regularly is important. And also, think about giving sugar, caffeine, and alcohol a rest. Those things energize you unnecessarily. And lastly, make your bedroom a sanctuary. And that's something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is also so important. But I really don't want to talk anymore because Dr. Shannon Chavitz is here, and I'm so excited, and I'm just going to pick her up right now because I really want to start this conversation with her. So hold on. Hello, Dr. Shannon Chavitz.
Good morning, Meryl. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I am doing fabulous as well.
Ah, great. Oh, I'm so glad that you're waking up so early. I just want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. You're a licensed clinical psychologist and sex and relationships mm-hmm. therapist, specializing mm-hmm. in women's sexual health. And you work with women, couples, and groups, and you work towards sexual fulfillment, healing, and empowerment.
Yes, that's correct.
And your specialties include sexual disorders, compulsive behaviors around sex and love, intimacy issues, sexual trauma and abuse, and sex coaching that focuses on sexuality changes through our lifespan. And mm-hmm. I am just so glad that you're here today because ever since, you know, I had you on, I guess it was a couple of months ago, it's been playing in my mind because it's such an important topic. And I'm just so glad that you're talking about it and people are starting to talk about it because it's a fact, and I'm so glad that you're here to continue the conversation.
Thank you. You know, it is an important topic, and I think it's a really exciting time for especially women's sexual health because you're seeing it more in the media.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great books out right now. Women are starting to talk about it more. I think social media is helping really spread the topic and help women gain information and curiosity. So I think it's a better time than ever to help women get empowered around sex.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I know for me and people that I know, it's just not really talked about, especially our bodies. You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like taboo. And I'm wondering, and I wanted to talk about your practice and what goes on there, because for me it seems that, you know, we're not really in touch with our bodies. We're afraid mm-hmm. to touch our bodies. We don't even know,
right.
You know, I want to talk about it later, you know, the 9 interesting things that you don't know about your clitoris. It's just,
right.
We're just not familiar with our bodies. And I'm saying to myself, well, how could we not be? We really need to start doing that so we could not only pleasure ourselves, but we need to know what's going on our body.
Exactly. And you know, women really differ from men in that we don't have as much of a relationship with our body, especially our genitalia. You know, men from an early age, they, hold their penises to urinate, and women really don't do a lot of exploring. And there's a lot of messages in our culture, too, about it's dirty, it's shameful. So there's
yes.
all of these embedded messages that get sent down early on, and women really have to kind of give themselves permission around body exploration and discovery and really knowing all about anatomy, sexual anatomy and functioning. And it really is all about information and knowledge. So a lot of women will have a lot of shame if they have any sexual concerns, feeling
mm-hmm.
that something's wrong with me or, I'm doing something wrong. But really both women and couples together really need good adult sex education, and that's one thing that's really missing in our culture is how do adults learn how to be intimate and learn
mm-hmm.
the tools on how to be sexual together at different stages in their relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. And when I relate it back to getting organized and clutter, the negative thoughts that we have about our bodies and sex and being intimate needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
That needs
Absolutely.
To be changed. And that takes care of the clutter part. And then getting organized, it's important for couples, like I said in the beginning. And I read an article also about yours. It was Sex, Why It's Good for Your Health.
Right.
That was a blog.
Right.
And, you know, you said here, for couples who say life is too busy to fit sex into their schedules, you say, and that's what I agree, schedule a date. A night
mm-hmm.
together or even a sex night. That's the only, you know, way it's going to happen.
Right. And couples, they have different schedules. We're just in a scheduling lifestyle now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is scheduled. So why wouldn't you schedule sex?
Right.
And I like the scheduling of sex because it adds anticipation. So if you schedule a date, you know the time that you're going to be intimate together. You can prepare. You can actually put thought and energy into what it is you're going to do that night. Maybe you want to go get a new outfit or some devices, toys, set the scene. All of that adds so much to our sexual desire and response, so it's a great thing to do. Couples do it all the time. They're resistant at first because it feels, I guess, a little awkward to have to schedule a date.
Yes.
But when they actually start to incorporate it into their day-to-day, they realize it's probably one of the most best tools they can use because they know exactly when, they know they can look forward to it, and there's no back and forth as far as who's initiating,
mm-hmm.
Is there fear of rejection. It kind of cuts through all of those major relational factors that get in the way of couples really being intimate together.
Right. I think it's a great idea. You know, it's interesting. After the last show together, you know, there were several guys out there, you know, that I got emails from that, well, wow, can't you just, like, you know, talk to my wife and get my wife involved, or I'm going to have my wife listen to this show. And it's interesting because I'm finding that couples are really still not even talking about the fact that they're having issues in their sex life. I think they're just,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're getting so busy. Like you said, we're so scheduled. We're with the kids and we're working. And it's on the back burner. And it should, in my opinion, should be, you know, front and center.
Right. I feel that couples talk a lot. There's a lot of communication going on, but there's not enough actual dialogue around sex. So they may really talk a lot about the issue of what's not happening or one wants more. There's always a high desire and a low desire partner mm-hmm. in the relationship. So there's a lot of communication, but nothing that really directly goes to the concern of what's happening. So whether it's, you know, I'm not connecting enough with you, or I want to go out on more dates, I need more emotional connection, whatever it is, there's not effective communication. So I think couples really need good tools around how to communicate about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying earlier, there's all of the shame and negative thoughts that we bring into our relationship. So we have to learn how to just dialogue first about sex. So that's a lot of the beginning stages of how to help couples address things like low desire or
mm-hmm.
frequency or any of the things that aren't happening in the relationship.
Right. It's like the dialogue is just for couples to get familiar with talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean,
familiar.
If you think about it, women will talk pretty comfortably with their girlfriends, or, you know, they'll read a lot of good things on the internet or books about sex. But when it comes to actually translating that into a dialogue to how do I tell my partner that, you know, I want more oral sex, or how do I mm-hmm. tell him I need to have more foreplay before intercourse? There's just not a lot of tools on how to have that dialogue and have him be receptive and not defensive, or have him feel that he's doing something wrong, but really
right.
just a healthy dialogue and sharing needs, desires, fantasies, all the really important aspects of healthy sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And when I want to go back a little bit, because your practice is so interesting, and I love what you do. I think the subject is great. But how did you get started? Why did you decide to specialize, you know, in sex and relationship therapy?
You know, I've always worked with women. I started out actually was planning on going to med school and becoming an MD, and I worked in a clinic, and it was a women's health clinic,
mm-hmm.
and it was a really busy clinic, and it was the only topic that wasn't really addressed in all of their day-to-day visits, whether it was prenatal care or sexually transmitted infections. There wasn't a lot of counseling or education around sex. And
mm-hmm.
I could see the fear, the concern, the eagerness of women to really get that information.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started my graduate studies around psychology, that was another area. Psychologists didn't want to touch the sexuality issue. It was just, I think for so many, taboo, and it really is so personal, even as
mm-hmm.
a therapist, to deal with sexuality. So I thought, you know what, it affects all of us in so many different ways, and there really is a niche in need, especially for women. So I just decided to get all of the training I could to be able to address those needs. So I did sexological training, which really looks at scientific and why we do what we do sexually. I've studied marriage and family dynamics, everything on how we are relationally and how our sexuality is really impacted by that. And, women's sexuality is really such a new field. There's not a lot of medical research in that area, so I really look at it as a really crucial time now as things are starting to develop more and women are starting to really get better treatment resources and everything like that. So our clinic, which really looks at integrative medicine and treatment for sexual health concerns, is really kind of new, cutting edge and bringing together different disciplines and saying, you know, it's not one area. It's psychological and physiological, and we have to have a really good mind-body relationship to treat sexuality and sexual concerns.
Yes, absolutely. I agree
mm-hmm.
there 100%. You know, I'm always talking about how it's so important for us to feel good about ourselves, mind, body, and soul. And
mm-hmm.
if we're not familiar with our bodies, how could we really feel good about it?
Right, absolutely.
So
and how can you tell your partner, too, how to please you if you aren't familiar
right.
with what you want and need?
If you can't. And it's not talked about. And it's interesting. And in that same article that I was referring to, you know, it's really a great thing for your health. I mean, just, you know, having an orgasm or having intercourse or feeling good, I mean, that's that improves your mood, decreases your stress, and then you go on to say that it helps, you know, sex for people battling mental conditions, like heart disease, it helps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? There's so many health benefits, and it's interesting. That's one thing that is never really discussed around sex is all of the amazing overall health benefits and how great it is for your well-being, whether it be, you know, mental or physical. There's just so many great benefits.
It's unbelievable that it's not talked about. You know, your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases. you wind up feeling fabulous after the fact, usually.
Absolutely, right. Whether it be partnered sex or self-stimulation, too. So a lot of women, too, that aren't in relationships, it can be self-stimulation and just really learning how to masturbate and learning how to be in control of your body.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about that. I'm glad that you brought that up because I did see that you wrote a blog, which is fabulous, by the way, for everybody out there. The blog is just great. The information is spectacular out there. That Dr. Shannon Chavitz puts out. So we're going to give that information out later. But you were saying that masturbation has many health benefits for women. It helps us to get in touch with our bodies and improve your sexual self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said there are some psychological benefits also that can improve, you know, your overall health. And one of them is your mood.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it helps relieve depressive symptoms. But you go on with that because that's, you know, why does it help our mood and relieve stress and, you know, strengthen our relationship with others? Just a simple, you know, masturbating and taking care of ourselves does all those things.
Right, exactly. I mean, mindfulness is really the big buzzword now, and people are really starting to use a lot of tools, whether it be yoga or mindfulness, breathing and things to really get the mind and body connected. The same goes for anything regarding our sexual response. So when you connect with the body through breathing and through stimulation, you're really connecting mind and body, and you're creating this connection of not only physiological nerve endings, but you're creating an awareness of what's happening in the body, a full-bodied sensory experience, which is great for mood. It really helps regulate. So if you're holding your emotions someplace in your body, a lot of us hold a lot of tension in our neck and shoulders. By doing breathing and even self-stimulation, you're allowing yourself to release some of that tension. It's a great stress reliever. I also tell the women that I work with that it's a great sleep aid. So if you're having trouble sleeping, if you have any sort of insomnia, you can use masturbation as a wonderful sleep aid. So there's so many benefits because you're just regulating the body, you're improving circulation, relieving that tension and stress, and also just getting in tune with what your body's feeling. So you're doing a full-bodied self-sense inventory and knowing where you start to feel pleasure, where you maybe are more sensitive. So it gives you a whole mapping of your sensual self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I mean, it's just so true and so fabulous. But what's happening, you know, out there? Why are women not doing that? What are those taboos, you know? What was said to us all those years ago? You know, why are we not feeling comfortable, you know, masturbating and touching ourselves?
Right. So much of it is culture and religion. I work with quite a few women that are from very conservative religious upbringings, and there's so many messages embedded early on about it's dirty, good girls don't, touching yourself is just completely forbidden. So there's that, and then there's really a lot of genital shame for women out there, and I think that comes from popular culture. It comes from just this not giving oneself permission to really explore the body. So a lot of women come in feeling very shameful around their appearance of their genitals, this fear of odor and smell, or feeling that they just don't feel comfortable at all with their genitals. And then that really inhibits them having any partnered play around, you know, genitalia, self-stimulation, oral sex. So a lot of it is, so much of it is culture. And really this this big gap between early sexual development and adulthood for women, where there's no encouragement around using masturbation as a way to really help self-exploration and discovery for sexual response. So there's that big gap. And usually it becomes an issue or a concern around the time that the woman is in a long-term relationship and starting to have issues around her sexuality with her partner.
Interesting. I'm so glad that you're in the forefront of changing that around, because it's so important. It's so important.
Right.
And I didn't even realize as a sleep aid that that's so great for people out there. And it's a stress reliever. I mean, come on, ladies. We're all stressed. We're all busy. We're all having a hard time falling asleep. Well, you know, why don't we, you know, get a couple of toys or use your hands and start discovering your body. It'll change your life.
Absolutely. And we are at an amazing time in the technology of it, too, of all of the great devices we have. And I know you're going to have someone on a little bit later to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the opportunity about a month ago to go out to New York and spend a weekend with Betty Dodson, who is known as the Queen of Masturbation. And so she was really a big pioneer for women during the sexual revolution to bring masturbation as a focus of really kind of gaining and empowering yourself around sexuality. So I got to spend a weekend with her, and
wow,
her main focus is coaching women around orgasm and masturbation. So we did a whole body sex workshop, and it was just mind-blowing. I love Betty. If you ever have a chance to speak with her, she's just fabulous.
Oh, I'm going to give her a call. Did you blog about that? I might have seen that. Did she have one tool that she came up with, that silver rod? Was that her? When was let's just give the the blog so people out there can check that out.
If you go to my blog, it's femalesexualhealth.me, and the blog title is What Every Vagina Needs, Betty's Barbell Workout. So she created this amazing device called a Kegel dildo, or it's actually a vaginal barbell made out of stainless steel, and it's about a pound. And what it really does is it allows women to exercise their pelvic floor muscles, which are really crucial at any age during your sexuality. So for young women in their 20s all the way to women in their 50s and 60s, it's so important. And it's a really amazing device because it also enhances orgasmic response. So you can use it during masturbation, and you will just have even more of an enhanced orgasm. So we sell the item in our clinic now because we were so blown away by it. We said every woman needs a barbell.
Oh, my God, I have to buy one. How much are they?
You must. You can actually get them on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and he has a whole store there. So you can get the barbell there, and it comes with this amazing instructional booklet on different PC exercises. So how to do different Kegel exercises with the barbell, and then how to use it during masturbation as well. So it really gives good stimulation to the G-spot area, and you can use it in different ways to really bring an enhanced orgasm. So yes, you must get a barbell.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm definitely going to get it. I'm also, you know, the girls, Claire is going to be on from Babeland, so I'm going to see if she carries that product. If not, maybe she'll start carrying it in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
That brings me, you know, to the next topic that I wanted to discuss with you, and it's just like orgasm basics. You know,
mm-hmm.
I read, you know, forget pain relievers, have an orgasm instead. You know, women who self-medicate with an orgasm are finding relief from headaches, muscular pain, stress, and even migraines. And, you know, that's spectacular. It's not costing you anything. You're pleasuring yourself, and you're relieving stress.
Absolutely. And the thing about orgasm that I do with women I work with, the first thing is redefining it. So the best definition for orgasm is the body's ability to receive and give pleasure. So it's a lot more simple than, you know, it doesn't have to be fireworks or this big grandiose experience. Orgasms can be as small as a hiccup. It's more about your ability to receive and be in tune with the pleasure that you're having and being able to play and enhance that in different ways. So using masturbation as a way to explore different types of orgasm. The great thing for women is that we're so multi-sensory in our sexual response, so we can have all types of orgasms. We can do nipple stimulation with clitoral stimulation and have these combo orgasms. Some women can even think themselves off, where they can use sexual fantasy and evoking emotional response to bring themselves to orgasm. So I think women are just so unique in that way, where we have all these forms of orgasm. So it's really, no one orgasm is built the same. So for women, it's just exploring and expanding all the possibilities of being orgasmic and knowing that there's so many, again, health benefits and ways that we can really help our overall well-being by becoming more orgasmic.
And we all need to give ourselves, of course, permission to do that. You know, and that's what I was talking about earlier when I said, you know, we need to find some time, some alone time where we can explore, you know, whether it's in the bed or in the bathtub. You know, this is something that everybody needs to either schedule or make time for so they can experience it.
Right, right. Schedule a little time. I even say, you know, if you can do 10 to 15 minutes in your normal nightly routine or even your morning routine, make it part of getting up, brushing your teeth, self-stimulating, taking a shower, getting ready for work. Make it part of a routine, because the more you can make it habitual, the more it becomes a part of your priorities. So any little bit counts. I tell the women I work with, even 5 minutes, even any sort of connection with the body is a way to start of, you know, starting to bring that desire back. So
every little bit counts. And I love that you're saying that. And, you know, we're giving all of you women permission out there to touch and explore. It's your body. Why not? You know, what are you waiting for? There's no shame. It's your body, and it's going to make you feel better, perform better, and really be a better person.
Right. And women need to remember, there's sort of a use it or lose it theory, where if you don't self-stimulate, those nerve connections, the brain to vagina connections, actually start to lessen. So the more we can use self-stimulation as a way to prime, it's going to really enhance sexual response and arousal. So it's not an urban myth. Use it or lose it, ladies.
Interesting. I had no idea. So you have to really use it. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I don't think many women even realize that, you know, how sexual and sensitive the clitoris is. You know, and I think that's important to mention as well. I mean, what are there, like 8,000 sensory nerve endings there?
Right, and that's just in the clitoral head and shaft. So the great thing about the clitoris is it's this fabulous anatomical structure. So a lot of the women that I work with don't realize that the clitoris really goes internal and external. So when you're self-stimulating to go all around the labia, the introitus or opening of the vagina, there's so many nerve endings around all of that area. So if you're stimulating, you want to make sure you're putting your vibrator around all those tissues, because you're going to bring and increase blood flow to that area. And the clitoris is really made out of erectile tissue, similar to the male penis. So as you bring and draw blood into those areas, the clitoris actually becomes erect. So you want to spend a lot of time stimulating that area to really fill all that tissue with blood, and it will really enhance arousal and orgasmic response. So it's an amazing structure. I have on my blog, too, the anatomy of the clitoris, which I always tell people it has two little wings and legs that go around the labia down towards the labia, and then the clitoris actually has a long shaft that goes all the way back on the anterior wall of the vagina. So it's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It's unbelievable. And here I'm saying to myself, I said, you know, we didn't learn this when I was in school. And today do they still have sex education classes, and are they teaching these, you know, things to our children?
Right. You know, sex education is so limited, and it's really focused around adolescents. It doesn't talk about any issues that a person would face as an adult around sexuality. So a lot of my practice is focused around adult sex education, and I would say the majority of everyone I work with goes, I never received any of this information,
yes,
and I've never heard of any of this,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, it's better to start now than later. So I encourage all adults to really do your research and get some good books. There's great websites. There's so many great sex educators out there that focus on adult sexuality. So it's really great, and you have it at your fingertips with the internet. So that's a great.
It's so true. And also, Shannon, it's important once we do become familiar and feel comfortable, I think it's important that we start passing this information down to our children so they don't have to deal with the issues of, you know, embarrassment that we're all dealing with.
Right, right. There's some great books out there. One's called From Diapers to Dating. I even get books that are really geared around teaching children about sexuality, and I give them to adults to show some of the basic ways to get that information, and then to really help themselves heal through giving their children that good sexual information and like you said, permission to explore and to ask questions and to be open as a family around discussing sex. So that really breaks down those barriers and also helps the woman and man heal around their own sexual shame.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about when, you know, we're talking about teenagers and children is sexting. That's a new form, you know, of flirting, and, you know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you wrote something on that, and this is what I guess the teenagers are doing. It seems to be healthy. What do you,
right,
you know, I mean, I guess it's
a healthy thing. I think it's healthy, you know, it's part of, you know, whether we like it or not, it's part of adolescent behavior now. It
right.
is, like you said, a form of flirting, and it really
right.
does help them get in tune with all of those feelings that they start to have as they're changing sexually. I think the only limit to that is really it doesn't help them learn good communication and dialogue and
right.
vulnerability, which I think is such an important piece of sexual development, is learning to be vulnerable, allowing people to really see you for you. It sort of creates a mask behind that. But I think it's a great tool for flirting and kind of exploring what your sexual needs and fantasies might be. So I think, you know, there's right ways to do it, and there's also, you know, a good, healthy aspect to it as
well.
Agree.
I think it's, you know, fun for, it's a nice tip for some couples that are facing, you know, problems or issues in their relationship to, you know, send a little text that maybe, you know, would turn your partner on, or something interesting, or, you know, I'm thinking about you in this way. And it sends a little spark to the partner. And I think
mm-hmm.
it's really a nice small way that everybody could start doing immediately, you know. So I think it's interesting, and I think as a tip for people out there, you know, sex, what would it be? What is it called? Sexting. Sexting. Partner or something.
Yeah. You know what? Couples really don't flirt anymore. So sexting is a great way to like you said, evoke an emotion and get some ideas going as far as what you want to do with a partner. I always tell my couples, if you set a date night, 3 days before the date night, start sending each other notes, suggestive ideas. Let each other know what they have to kind of anticipate for that night.
Yes.
So it really helps create a lot of play and excitement. And that's the thing, too. Couples aren't as playful as they need to be. Being playful is really a big part of our sexuality. So sexting can really evoke kind of some – it takes the seriousness or pressure out of sex, because sex should really be something that's enjoyed and pleasurable, not a task or a duty. So sexting can kind of take some of that pressure off and make it just – about fun and connection.
Yes, I totally agree. And it's so important to lighten up, especially with all the stresses out there. And one thing that's easy, and it doesn't even cost anything.
Right, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. There's no right text or wrong text. It's all about what is exciting, you know, as you're sending it and what you would like to receive. So I think it's a great tool.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, this has been fabulous once again. Always love having you on the show. You're always giving us such great information. So thank you, Dr. Shannon, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Meryl. Good talking with you again.
Good talking with you again. And I'm hoping you're going to come back again to continue our conversation. And if anybody, just give out your website one more time so people could get in touch with you and check out the blog.
Great. My blog is femalesexualhealth.me. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and I have a lot of great resources for men as well. So check out any of the social media or the blog for good information around sexual health.
Fabulous, fabulous. Oh, you're the greatest. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day. Oh, that was spectacular. We're just going to take a quick little break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes, couple of seconds.
Each week, you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just giving a call to Claire, my
Hello,
next guest.
Claire.
Hey, Claire, how are you?
Oh, hi, good.
Good. Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure, yeah, it's my pleasure.
I want to say congratulations on 20 years of the Babe Land store. It's absolutely fabulous. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it seems like just yesterday, you know.
Could you imagine?
No, not at all. No, we were young and just wanted to change the world like anybody else who's young and idealistic. And 20 years later, now I get to speak with you about
right.
20 years of vibrators.
I got to tell you my experience. I've been in the store several times. You know, it's right here in Soho. And when I was there last week, I spoke to Sarah Marie, who is lovely.
Oh, yes.
One of the
she is lovely.
And, you know, I went into the store and I figured I'd, you know, look around. And I was familiar with it, but I wanted to see how, you know, it was going to be just for somebody walking in and asking questions. And I started to do that. And it's funny because it's just, I was asking her about one of the vibrators, and she was so straight-faced and so knowledgeable and so accepting and so non-judgmental. You know, it was funny because it's like a part of me wanted to laugh a little bit because of being, you know, slightly uncomfortable. But she was just amazing and was able to give me all the information, and I felt so comfortable talking to her about everything.
That is great to hear, because that's what we strive for. It's like to sort of make this entirely new context where you can walk in and just think about what you like and talk to somebody who's not going to laugh at you, judge you, flirt with you, you know, whatever crazy stuff people do.
I know.
So I'm glad you had a good experience. That's great.
It was a great experience. And, you know, I was just talking to Dr. Shannon Chavitz, who's a sex educator. She's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were saying how women especially are so unfamiliar with their bodies and
mm-hmm.
feel uncomfortable, and how it's important to, you know, learn about your body and how important masturbation is.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is where we come from. That is like the baseline of Babeland.
Yeah.
Like, you know, partner sex is terrific and it's a great part of life and it, you know, reproduces the species in some cases. But your knowledge of yourself and your understanding of your own pleasure leads to everything. You know, to
everything.
Healthy, happy, you know, partner sex and just living on your own and being productive.
Right.
I mean,
being
we think that sex is like a really basic right, you know,
mm-hmm.
for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, oh, I have to tell you, the book,
mm-hmm.
Morgasm,
oh,
is
yes.
spectacular.
Thank you.
It's so funny because I showed it to, I showed it to somebody the other day, and I have, you know, I put like these little pink tabs in it for things that I just find great and amazing. I think
mm-hmm.
I have them on almost every single page.
The
book
That's
is
great.
So well done. It is so
good.
Well written.
Good.
There's
Thank
amazing
you.
Information, you know, starting with, you know, your body and what's sexy about your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And it's interesting. And, you know, there's a little chapter on your butt. And I think that I think most people out there, besides the fact that we feel uncomfortable talking about sex, but, you know, vaginal sex. But then when you talk about, you know, anal sex, it's like
mm-hmm.
here in the book you're saying that this is fine. And I think most people just like it's really taboo.
Yeah, it is. It still is. It, you know, 20 years ago it was very taboo. It was like underground. But as time has gone on and, you know, women have become more of the, you know, our sexuality is just much more understood to be okay, you know, like our sexual pleasure. A lot of this stuff has come more into the mainstream, and I think anal sex is one of those things that, I mean, it's never going to not be a little bit different from regular sex, but it is a
right.
much more understood. I mean, it's right next door. It is so
I
close
know.
To what you're doing,
know.
you know.
Right.
Like, why not invite it to the party? And if you know a little bit about it, you can have, you know, really, really excellent anal sex. And a lot of people are wired that way, you know,
yes.
that is really what it's all about for them. So,
right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a whole new world, you know, slowly,
mm-hmm.
really, but surely we're getting there.
It's great. I really urge everybody out there to visit Babeland. Wait, how many stores are there in New York? Is it just the one downtown? You have two, don't you?
Yeah, we have one in Soho, and that's, you know, our west side, and then we have the Lower East Side on Rivington. That was our original New York store.
Right,
and
okay.
we opened in Brooklyn about 5 years ago on Bergen
okay.
Street. And since then, like, the, you know, the Barclays Center has grown up around us, and the whole neighborhood
yes.
has changed, and it's really, really fun to go shopping over there. It's just a little store, a little neighborhood store. There's a changing table in the bathroom for the moms who have their babies,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like,
oh, how
very,
great.
You know, in the neighborhood. Yeah, so there are three stores in New York, one in Seattle, and then a web business that we run.
Right, and the website is really great. I mean, you could just
Thank
pick
you.
Up anything and everything. And I think, like I said before, Claire, that it's so important that you can go into the store and not feel embarrassed. I'm telling you, they don't even crack a smile. Everything is so serious, and
mm-hmm.
that's really what you know what you want. It's really great. It was great to go in and have that experience. And also, the book I think is something that. Do you sell the book on Amazon or is it just in the stores?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's everywhere. You know, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
the books
yeah.
are sold.
Right.
And that, you know, we conceived of the book as sort of a, you know, if you cannot walk into a Babeland, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, the vast majority of people who are
right.
interested in this can't, they can pick up the book and have something of a similar experience, which, you know, where they see the toys in a context that's kind of fun and not, you know, judgmental and not too clinical,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
mm-hmm.
it's like a lot of sex advice and encouragement and, you know, just a peep into how it is to go into a Big One store and be helped by the customer service people who are,
mm-hmm.
as you've said, terrific.
Right.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So it's like a Babeland to go. Orgasm is Babeland to go.
And then the other thing that, you know, of course, there's a small chapter on masturbation, which is so
mm-hmm.
important. And we were talking about that earlier. And there are so many great toys and products
mm-hmm.
out there. And I was hoping maybe we could, you know, talk about some of those.
Sure. Terrific.
Like,
yeah, that's, like I said, I think that's what makes Babeland a little bit different. Like, there are a lot of pretty good places to go for sex toys and lube and encouragement. And they're like, but I think that Babeland is really different because we actually do care about masturbation for women. I think men
mm-hmm.
have a little bit of a head start, you know,
mm-hmm.
like they
mm-hmm.
have external genitalia, it gets hard, they touch it, it's great, they have an orgasm,
right, right.
you know, it's a little
right,
more,
right.
I mean, they can use, like, help sort of slowing down. But women, like, we really need to understand how our bodies work, and masturbation is the number one way to start that journey. So we're very much in tune with the need for masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we wrote that chapter. And some
mm-hmm.
of the products, well, vibrators, they're not only for masturbation. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
another sort of common misperception is that you get a vibrator when you don't have a lover or you can't get a date or you're frustrated or something like that. But I think our last survey showed that 60% of our customers come in to buy a sex toy for use with a partner. So it really is more about, like, enhancing, or
mm-hmm.
for many, many people, it's more about enhancing their sex lives with another person. But in terms of masturbation, I mean, there's not a lot of studies on it, but I think there are about 2/3 of women actually need consistent stimulation on the clitoris in order to have an orgasm. And that is a vibrator. Like, what
right.
gives you very consistent, strong, dependable, you know, stimulation? Vibrator. So a vibrator can give a woman their, you know, their first orgasm or their first multiple orgasm or, you know, more orgasms than they usually have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of taking the time and loving yourself and following your curiosity about what turns you on.
Yes, I
you know,
hear
like
that.
Self-love is real love. And self-love, I think, is like the beginning of loving another person, too.
I agree. Oh,
yeah.
You have to self-love before you could
that's
love
right.
one another. You have to. That
mm-hmm.
That's just
yeah,
what
on every level, not just a sex level,
on every
obviously,
level.
But
on, yes,
yeah.
on every level. And some of the products, you know, that I know one of
mm-hmm.
your bestsellers is that we vibe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah,
that's
that is a great,
great.
One.
Yeah, I don't have that one, but I did see that one in the store, and I thought it was really, really looked like a, you know, a great product.
Mm-hmm.
And what
yeah.
else was there? There was that Gigi is great.
Mm-hmm.
The Gigi
yeah, that
is great.
One I think might be my favorite.
I actually have that, and I think it's a great little, tool. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty easy
yeah.
to use.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, I think of that as like the it's just like the Wii Vibe is really good for partner sex. It's also
mm-hmm.
good for, you know, masturbation because it vibrates, you know, practically anything that vibrates is great. to,
right, right.
To get you off. But the Gigi, it's like to me it sort of symbolizes how far we've come in the 20 years because it used to
mm-hmm.
be the toys were so ugly. I mean, they were okay for their purposes,
right.
but in this 20 years, like, you know, sexuality and female orgasm has come so much more into the mainstream that things like the Gigi can be bestsellers. They're, you know, it's like a, it's beautiful, you know,
it's
elegant.
Gorgeous.
It's, yeah, it's silicone, which is, you know, not cheap, but it's great for your body.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, hang on to, you know, bacteria or anything like that. It's very clean and soft and pretty. And to me, that is like, you know, when a woman wants, you know, really values herself, you know, that is something that she could go and buy. I mean, and not
absolutely.
That buying things necessarily makes you, is a way to value yourself, but like in the same way that you go out and you're like, God, I love those shoes.
Absolutely.
You know, I deserve those shoes. like, and then you feel
yeah.
like, yeah, you know, that's a great feeling. So the Gigi is sort of like that. You know, it's I believe you can take in the shower, right? It's splash-proof,
mm-hmm,
rechargeable,
mm-hmm.
no batteries
yeah.
to, like, throw into the landfill. It's just all around a great toy.
It's a great toy.
And will give you, you know, a lot of pleasure.
Absolutely. And you know what? Just going back a little bit, you know, like talking about buying yourself a pair of shoes, buying, you know, vibrators and things that are going to make you feel good, how could we not?
Mm-hmm.
How could you not, in my opinion, have one? This is something that is going to feel good, you know, increase your sex life and help you feel better about yourself. Every woman should have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too, and it's much more like that than it used to be.
Yeah,
you know, like
right.
I said, the vibrators used to be really unsightly, and now these things, you know, you can just put them on your bedside table, and it
and
maybe looks like a sex toy, but maybe it's just, you know, like a lipstick or like some other sort of really pretty electronic personal gadget, you know, that you know, makes your life a little better.
And I love in the store you have all the old, you know, vibrators from years past. It's so interesting.
I love that
too.
The vintage vibrator museum.
Yes, yes. But
wow,
our time is just like running here. But I wanted to talk about the Luna beads because those are great, also.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those ones.
I have those.
Uh huh. Yeah, me too. They are they are like Benoit balls. I mean, they sort of developed from the idea of Benoit balls, where you put two balls inside of your vagina and you can sort of squeeze them to tighten your muscles and walk around and kind of feel them clacking against each other. But what happened, I mean, they went from like that's, you know, the sexy thing to like a sort of a health and wellness product where you, like if you're incontinent, like say you had a vaginal delivery and you haven't gotten right back up to where you were, like it's sort of an inner barbell kind of thing. But then 50 Shades of Grey took the nation by storm, the book, you know, the E.L. James book that sort of mainstreamed S&M.
Yes.
The hottest sex scene included Luna beads, and we have been selling out of them ever since.
It's unbelievable.
It's been about a year,
yep.
A run on the store that lasted about a year for the Luna
They're
beads.
They're fabulous.
They're really great.
They're so great.
They're
great, and I have them, and I can't believe that we're actually running out of time. The show's going to cut off in a couple of minutes.
We can do it again.
Yes, I want to have you back again because the store is great, the products are great, and you could see we have so much to talk about. So I'm saying in the next couple of months we're going to give you a call and schedule for you to come back on.
Okay, fantastic.
This is great. So thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Meryl. So much fun.
Have a fabulous day. I can't wait to continue the conversation.
Okay, talk to you again soon.
Okay, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, we went so fast. We went over. That's because the topic is so great. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening as we tackle life situations and learn how to remove the clutter in every aspect of our lives. Until next time, keep it simple and start masturbating. See you soon.